Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now so you can be a part of the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. We invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. We want to hear from you, so don't wait till the program is almost over before calling. Call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I'm going to start today's broadcast by reading Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want peace, it comes from being justified through faith in Christ Jesus. But he goes on to say, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So by faith, we've been justified. We now have peace, and we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So as believers in Christ, we stand in the grace of God. So guys, I'm going to throw this question out to you. Once we're saved, can we ever be out of God's favor? Can we ever be out of the grace of God?
No.
No.
No. No.
Would y'all like to elaborate on that a little bit? No, we can't be out of God's favor, out of God's grace, but what about when we sin? What about when we give ourselves over to the temptations of this world? What about when we say yes to whatever that sin is that has lured us into its trap? Are we out of God's favor at that particular point in time?
In fact, one of the things that the Spirit does at a time like that is make His grace even more visible to us. It's not that we lose it at all. It's that it just super abounds in spite of our inabilities to behave properly.
That's exactly right. And this is a truth that we need to embrace. This whole month we're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about forgiveness of our sins, what Christ's blood accomplished for us. And what it accomplished for us is a new place to live. It took us out of darkness. It placed us into light. And once we're in the light, we can never be in darkness again. Once we're in grace, we can never be out of grace. We'll never be condemned. We will never stand condemned ever again. This is the good news of the gospel, and it's so important for us to understand this, rest in it, believe it, because when we do, it opens up these whole new vistas of God's love for us in such powerful, powerful ways. Well, let's talk about it on today's broadcast. We would love to hear from you right now.
1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call all across the country and in Canada. Again, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are open, as I said at the top of the broadcast. Don't wait till we're almost out of time here in just a short while. Call now while we still have plenty of time to address your call. 1-800-677-9377.
Andrew, are you with us now?
Yeah, I think I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. So did you hear our conversation just a few minutes ago about
yes.
standing in the grace of God? Okay.
Yeah, I did. You know, one of the things I was thinking about is just that verse, you know, in Romans 5, it makes me think of standing in an ocean of grace, and there's grace before you and grace behind you and grace on your right and grace on your left, and you're just standing in this ocean of grace, and you can't really exhaust it. I mean, even when you sin more than you'd like, which is every single sin, you know, this grace abounds. It increases, Romans talks about. So the idea that we could somehow out-sin the grace of God or exhaust the blood of Jesus, it really makes no sense in light of how awesome the gospel is and how powerful this forgiveness really is.
Yes, indeed. And this forgiveness changes us. Yes. It doesn't leave us the same way that we were. That's all a part of this gospel message. When we are born again, we go from death to life. We have a new heart. We've been joined to God's Spirit. We're a new creation. And so our natural tendencies now, as believers in Christ is to trust Him, to walk by faith and hope and love. That's what God has put on the inside of us. But we still sin. We still give in to this world that's around us. We give in to the desires of the flesh occasionally. But when we do, it doesn't change where we are. It doesn't change who we are. It doesn't change what God has said about us. We can never get outside of God's grace. We are saved by grace, forgiven by grace. Everything is by grace. And God's Spirit keeps pounding that into these minds of ours so that faith can take shape, so that we can really mature and know that we know that we know that God indeed loves us.
Absolutely. Once again, guys, I want to give that phone number, 1-800-677-9377, toll-free across the country and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go up to New Jersey and talk with Wayne, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Wayne.
Good, good. I have a question.
Okay.
Is one saved always saved?
Well, Wayne, great question. You know, that phrase isn't in the Bible, but I think when we explore what the Bible says about this great salvation that we have, we can rest assured that we are saved forever. I know, Andrew, you get that question quite a bit in your travels and on your radio broadcast, heard each Sunday on WAVA in Washington, D.C. and on Sirius. How do you address that?
Yeah, well, you know, Hebrews 7:25 is one of my favorite passages, Bob. It talks about how that we are saved completely. It says we are saved completely because He always lives to intercede for us. So I like to ask people, you know, how saved are you? Well, it says completely. And then it says why. You know, see, why are you saved completely? Well, because He always lives to intercede for you. So, you know, your salvation is wrapped up in the length of Jesus's life, not in the quality of your living. We might think that we're saved as long as we, you know, do our part or keep up our end of some bargain or something like that. But really, the new covenant is an agreement between God and Jesus. God could swear by no one greater, and so He swore by Himself. And that's a big deal to see that, you know, this is an agreement between God and God. And Hebrews calls it two unchangeable things. So, you know, if my salvation is secured by two unchangeable things, then it seems like it can't be changed.
Wayne, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, brother.
So, yeah, you know, you may have been thinking that you've done some serious sinning and some things that you've regretted, and we all have. I mean, James says we all stumble in many ways, but we want to encourage you that, you know, even though your performance is not anywhere near perfect, the performance of Jesus Christ is very, very perfect, and He is the one that secures you and keeps you saved. So put your confidence in Jesus, not in your track record. And that's where we get our security from.
Well, Wayne, we sure appreciate your call today. Thanks for weighing in on today's broadcast, bringing such an important topic to the table today. So yeah. Thanks for that, Wayne. Let me put you on hold. We're going to send you some resources that will help you dig a little deeper in the Word of God and find out what the Bible really says about salvation. So you hang on, Wayne. We'll send those to you.
Yes, indeed. And friends, if you have a question about forgiveness, well, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377, forgiveness or the surety of it. Kind of an extension of this particular topic from Jeremy, who wrote to us. He says, are people that believe that they can lose salvation by their works or turning away still saved? When looking at Galatians, Paul tells them that he fears for them. The only way he could be fearful in that particular situation is if they are not saved. They were basing their salvation on works of the law plus grace. Is there true conversion for those who don't truly submit to the total work of Christ?
It's a good question as well. I mean, yeah. I think Andrew really hit the nail on the head. If somebody's saved, they're saved completely. And that salvation is based on Jesus Christ Himself, the fact that He's alive and His finished work on the cross. So if you're saved, you're saved. Now, our minds can go all over the place, can't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bob, you know, I think it's really important just to realize that I don't get saved by having perfect doctrine, and I don't keep my salvation by having perfect doctrine. I mean, you know, Richard, Bob, you know, every one of us, all of us, we can have some sort of belief system or part of our belief system that still needs renewing. We need new thinking. And so, you know, there might be loads of Christians that are born again. They're born again spiritually, but they're just not real sure on one aspect or one belief that they might have. And lo and behold, 5 years later, the Lord's working on them, and he brings them to a place of greater understanding and greater security. But we're not saved by perfect understanding.
We're
saved by putting our faith in Christ for.
I was thinking about that today, Andrew, in my own life. You know, I responded to the gospel message when I was like 12 years old at a summer youth camp, and I knew that I needed Jesus, and I knew that Jesus died for my sins. Something holy took place through that shed blood on the cross. And that never left me. Mm-hmm. I never went away from that belief that I needed Jesus. But I didn't have a clue as to what his death actually accomplished for me. So every time I sinned, I asked God to forgive me again. I even asked him to come back into my life. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know the full extent of what Christ provided. And that's why it was such a struggle. But God never left me, and that didn't mean I wasn't saved. It just meant that my mind hadn't aligned itself with what truth was. And over time, God did his work. It finally brought my mind into alignment with the gospel message. And so I really started to know in my thinking that my sins had been taken away once and for all. And that's when my heart started to rejoice and to be thankful for what Christ had done. So we can be saved. I've talked to people who were saved, and they didn't even know that Jesus was God. But that was one of the first things they learned, that Jesus was God. But that took a little time. So we just have to recognize that once Jesus saves us, he's not finished with us. He continues to renew our minds and to bring our minds, our thinking, into alignment with truth. And that's part of growing in Christ.
Yeah, one of the coolest things about grace is during those times of confusion, God never once rolls his eyes and shrugs his shoulders and says, "Oh, what a stupid dolt." He never says that. He always just brings the truth.
He doesn't even think that.
He doesn't even think it.
Yes. Well, let's go to New Jersey and talk with Gary, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
Well, I mean, a lot of the debate and the conversation, I don't think it comes about whether once you're saved that you can sin your way out of salvation. A lot of the conversation is how much of it was your decision to be saved. See, the people that believe you can lose your salvation, they'll make the argument that they made a conscious decision to accept Christ, and that they can make a conscious decision to not follow him anymore. You understand that, right, Bob?
Yeah. Well, Gary, you're making a good point, and I think it really brings us back to Paul's message in Ephesians chapter 2. We are saved by grace through faith. God works, he initiates, he comes to us in grace. As we see what that grace is and understand, then faith comes. It's by grace through faith. That's God's plan from start to finish, and I think we just have to rest in that. Andrew, how do you answer that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Paul recognizes some people that went out from among us because they were never really part of us. So some people appear to, you know, align themselves with a church group, or they really love their programs at their church, or they really want to clean up their lives and behave better. And so they love hanging out with Christians for a while, and then maybe at some point they get hurt, or they get annoyed, or they just get tired of religiosity. And so they go out from among us because they were never really part of us. And that's one case. Of course, you could have that. But then I think, you know, other times there are true believers who get hurt or get annoyed, or, you know, want to get away from a church and yet they're truly saved, and they're not saved by remaining in a church building. So it's really hard for us to develop theology based on our good friend Bill or our good friend Lisa or whoever. You know, we tend to want to say, well, what about my friend who this, or what about my friend who that? I think ultimately we have to come down to he carries us on to completion. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And that is the core of the gospel.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, that is. But the point I was trying to make is there's some people that, you know, a lot of, you know, godly people teach that they made a decision to come to Christ. See, the real confusing part is how much did God do and how much did we do? You understand that, right?
Absolutely, Gary, and we know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Gary,
well, I'm one of those guys who... Sorry.
Go ahead. You're one of those guys.
Yeah,
Andrew.
I'm one of those guys who teaches that, you know, we do have a decision to make. We call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. So I don't believe that God goes down the city street and picks some people but doesn't pick others, and that some have no chance because God didn't pick them. I do believe that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But we do often enter into decisions in life that are irreversible. I mean, many times you sign a contract that might be a lifelong contract. You can't get out of it. There's certain stipulations. And I think salvation is something that we enter into, just like physical birth. I was physically born, but I can't be unborn. There's no way I can negotiate my unbirth. You know, salvation is a curious thing, Bob, and I think there is a calling upon the name of the Lord, but at the same time, there is he who began this good work. He's going to carry you all the way on to completion, no matter what.
Yeah, and I think that's the important issue, that this salvation is initiated by God. It is carried out by Jesus. It's entered into by faith. That's the whole thing that Paul is talking about, by grace through faith. I think that's important for us to understand. How do we explain that faith? We explain it by a decision. I received Christ. I believed. But all that comes at the initiation of God in grace by revealing to us the person and work of Jesus Christ. Well, Gary, thanks for your call today. Let's go to Belleville, Maryland, and talk with you, Eugenia. Is that it?
Yes, this is Eugenia Williams. Actually, I'm a pastor 3 years, and I've been totally confused about the day of the Sabbath. Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? I'm so confused. It's not even funny. In fact, I'm so confused that for the past month, you know, there was a time when I believed it, you know, definitely it was Saturday. So I told some of my members, and some stopped coming. You know, they said they don't worship on Saturdays. But then I told them, I mean, there is no day that is, I mean, every day we should worship God. So with Saturday included, yeah. Even though they don't believe it's the Sabbath. So
well, Eugenia, you ask a very good question that's really answered in a much broader view as we look at the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And Richard, that's you were raised in a denomination that believed that you had to obey that fourth commandment and worship on the seventh day. That was a Saturday. What did you learn as you started to really grow in the grace of God and understand this New Covenant that we live in today?
Well, I learned two things. One, nobody ever changed the day that was listed in the Mosaic Law. It was Saturday, the seventh day, Sabbath. But two, that day was one part of this shadow that the writer to the Hebrews talks about, that the reality is found in Jesus. And as soon as you come to Jesus for the reality of that rest, you are at rest forever, 24/7. Every day of the week, you are at rest. And it's a perfect spiritual Sabbath rest. And therefore, it supersedes the one day a week that was in the Mosaic Covenant.
Yeah. And I think the reason that Christians worship on Sunday more so than Saturday is simply in honor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was raised on that first day.
They didn't try to change the day. They just said he raised on Sunday. Let's celebrate.
Yeah. So you.
So the takeaway here is that you're totally free from the Sabbath. If you're in Christ, you're not bound to a Sabbath. You're free to work if you need to work. You don't need to worry about Friday night emails or Saturday yard work or even Sunday. It's not about resting from physical work. It was really just a symbol of resting from spiritual work, because Jesus did all the work. So you're a free person. You don't have to keep any Sabbath. You're in Christ. You're under grace, and every day belongs to the Lord.
I'll tell you what we're going to do.
So I can worship. We can, yes, sir. So we can worship. Our Sabbath can be Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, any day in the week.
For corporate worship, yes.
Absolutely. And the Sabbath, spiritually, is resting in the finished work of Christ.
Yes.
It's resting in what Jesus Christ accomplished for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's something that you want to celebrate every single day of the week. That's the Sabbath, the spiritual Sabbath, that Sabbath day was pointing to. So embrace that. And enjoy the freedom that you have in Christ Jesus. And as a church body, you all decide which day you want to worship on. That's your decision. It doesn't matter. It's not going to displease God if you worship on Sunday or Wednesday or Thursday. Don't let a day hold you up, okay? Let me put you on hold. I'm going to send you some information that I think will be helpful for you. It's a Bible study guide called The New Covenant Journey. And the things that we have talked about or dealt with in this, you will go into the Word of God and see some passages, I think, that will really bring you some light on this particular subject. So you hang on, Eugenia, and we'll get that to you.
The New Covenant Journey and all the resources available through Basic Gospel can be found at our store, store.basicgospel.net. We invite you to go and look around, and I know there are a lot of things there that will help you toward growth and spiritual unity with the Lord Jesus Christ. So take advantage of it, store.basicgospel.net.
Let's quickly go to the Bronx and talk with Johnny, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Johnny.
Hi there. Yes, I had a question. Well, first of all, I was going to answer your question. No, I don't believe that we can lose our salvation once we have it.
Well,
I think the only way we can lose our salvation once we have it is if we commit the unpardonable sin of killing ourselves. Then you can't ask for forgiveness.
Yeah. Well, Johnny, that is not the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is the rejection of Jesus Christ. Suicide is not the unpardonable sin. There's nowhere in the Bible that you will read that. The only sin that will leave us standing condemned under the condemnation of God is unbelief in Jesus Christ. That's the sin. That's what Jesus talked about, and I think we need to be very, very clear on that. Otherwise, we're going to be confused. I mean, what if somebody dies in the middle of some other sinful act, the sin of adultery or something like that? Then we'd have to conclude, well, that must be the unpardonable sin. Well, no, the unpardonable sin is rejecting Jesus Christ, rejecting the offer of life that is made to you by God's Spirit himself, the one who takes the things of the Lord Jesus and makes them known unto us. When we say no to him, that's the unpardonable sin. Well, Johnny, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, and friends, we invite you, we encourage you, we urge you to go online to basicgospel.net and click subscribe to join our email list. Sign up today to receive the daily radio broadcast, blog posts, and other ministry updates. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. Well, this month, for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you'll receive Bob Christopher's message called In the Love of God. In this message, you'll discover the depths of God's love for you, and it's the most secure place you can be. In the Love of God, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, simply visit basicgospel.net, that's basicgospel.net, or phone during Central Time office hours, that number 1-800-727-2828. We have an operator standing by, as I said, during Central Time office hours at that number, 1-800-727-2828. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.